Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com, and I'm joined by Ben Oilcan Bolin.
Yes, known worldwide, if the world is Studio 1A, as the co-host of High Speed Stuff, Ben Oilcan Bolin.
You didn't even flinch.
Did not even flinch, man.
Wow, that's
I am
pretty good.
On
you
your team.
You weren't expecting that.
We were talking earlier about a t-shirt with your face on it. I think it could be a hit.
Yeah. Well, that's your opinion. I mean, like I said, I probably wouldn't wear it myself.
Kind of weird.
A little bit.
You would look two-headed.
Yeah, a little narcissistic, I guess.
So, it would be entertaining, and let me once again do one thing that we need to do when we're talking about entertainment. Scott, we've talked about it before. Let's talk about it one more time, Punkin' Chunkin'.
I love Punkin' Chunkin'.
You not only love the show, but you love the whole event.
I think it's kind of cool. I was reading about it. I was on the website, and I was reading about it. And the original, Punkin' Chunkin' contest, the winner chunked a pumpkin, if that's the right way to say it.
I think that's correct.
Yeah, I think they said that 114 feet was the longest that anybody could throw a pumpkin in 1986.
Huh.
114 feet. So now, as we know, I've mentioned this a few times, they're throwing it nearly a mile.
Nearly a mile.
When are they going to break that barrier? When are they going to break a mile?
You know what? Maybe at some point we will find out.
It might be Thanksgiving night.
It might be Thanksgiving night at 9 p.m.
At 9 p.m. on Punkin' Chunkin', which is on the Science Channel. And also right before that, you can watch The Road to Punkin' Chunkin' at 8 o'clock. So who knows? Maybe they'll break that mile barrier this year.
We love it when people are breaking records. And we kind of keep our we try to keep our eyes on the forefront as best we can of high speed stuff. You know, I learned briefly how to say high speed stuff in Croatian.
Really?
Yeah, because that prank letter I was telling you about, I was going to send. But it translates to tall, fast things.
Well, a little different.
But, meaning is lost in translation. But since we're talking about futuristic stuff, you know, we've covered hybrids quite often, and you know me, man. Every time that we're doing one of these episodes, I get so excited, and I want to hop into the nearest vehicle. I want to buy it. I want to sign the loan paperwork or whatever. But usually, you're the voice of reason, and thank God you're here. Who knows how many cars I would have bought?
I'd talk you down, right?
Talk me off the ledge, man.
Sure. Well, I've been trying to talk you into a go-kart for a while, but that's not working.
I don't think I could take one to work.
Yeah, true. It's past season, too, right now. So
it'd be a bit cold.
Yeah.
Be a bit cold.
Well, you want to talk about hybrids, though?
Yes.
All right. Well, here's the scoop with what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about 5 reasons to buy a hybrid. And you probably think of more than 5 reasons, really. But
sure.
We're going to counterbalance this with another episode coming soon that's 5 reasons to not buy a hybrid. So whatever you hear today, you may hear us arguing the opposite side in the next episode. And I don't know, it's kind of fun to do that and just go back and forth on the same issue. So today we're arguing 4 hybrids, though.
Mm-hmm. And we're arguing 5 good reasons to buy a hybrid.
Yeah.
But again, don't pull a Ben Bolin and run out and try to buy one, because we will have another episode coming. We just want you to be informed, basically.
Pull a Ben Bolin. That's what that would be called.
I hope that doesn't become a thing.
Yeah, I hope so, too. All right, well, let's just kick it off, I guess. I mean, as you know, they're pretty popular. Mm-hmm. We don't really have to explain what they are, really, because we've gone over that, really. There are some good reasons to get one, but let's just go ahead and go right through the list. We do have an article on our site, and the article is titled the exact same thing, 5 Reasons to Buy a Hybrid. John Fuller, a staff writer here at HowStuffWorks, wrote this, so it's
and
a good article.
And host of Stuff from the B-Side.
Correct.
Co-host.
Yeah, co-host. He's very good.
John's a smart guy. What's he got?
He has got a real competent list of 5 reasons here. And we'll start out with number 5 and count down to number 1, okay?
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite.
So we'll just go right through. So the first reason, well, actually number 5, would be competitive prices. And you may say, what do you mean competitive prices? We've been telling people all along that they cost more.
What do you mean competitive prices? We've been telling people all along that they cost more.
Very good. Very good. Well, the thing is that prices are coming down, and they're trying to make them more competitive so that not only, you know, it becomes a more of a natural decision for somebody to purchase a hybrid vehicle,
right,
versus saying, you know, weighing out the factors, whether, you know, am I going to make that money back somehow? How long do I have to own this car, et cetera? I got a couple of good examples. There's a bad example too. I mean, maybe we shouldn't even touch that. But for competitive prices, there are two of the most prominent hybrids on the road right now. The Toyota Prius, which is around, it's only around $22,000. Now that sounds like a lot of money, $22,000 for a new car. But when you look at, you know, hybrids that are costing in the 30s and the 40s,
easily,
for several different makes. Some they go all the way up to above $100,000, believe it or not, for a hybrid. Lexus hybrid is cost, you know, that's the price for that. $22,000 for a Toyota Prius, that's around that price. The Honda Insight comes in just less than $20,000. That's the most affordable hybrid on the road right now.
Yeah, that is pretty. That's surprisingly low.
Just under $20,000. Yeah. It's like $19,800, I believe. So, and you can also get these federal tax credits for up to $3,400 on
certain
models.
Yeah.
The bad news is some of those have gone away, but that's number four, as a matter of fact, the tax incentives. The U.S. Congress created an Energy Policy Act of 2005 where you can get a $3,400 tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
And to qualify, you have to meet, I think it's just two points here. You have to purchase the hybrid on or after January 1st of 2006. You've got time before that, you know, a couple of years before this.
Yeah.
The cutoff date is December 31st, 2010. So that's approaching in a little more than a year.
Still have time.
Yeah, and now, again, some of these are kind of dependent on a schedule, the amount that you get back. It's not, you don't automatically get the $3,400 back.
And I see.
And we're not talking about the cash for clunkers deal either.
Totally different.
This is a federal tax credit. The deal is that if you purchase the vehicle before the 60,000th vehicle of that make and model has been sold already, then you get the full credit. But after that 60,000th vehicle of that make and model has been sold, the amount that you receive back reduces on a sliding scale. It's a quarterly scale, I believe.
Oh, very clever, Uncle Sam.
Yeah, yeah. And you know that a lot of these have already expired because, you know, they've gone past the 60,000th a long time ago. So you have to be wary if you're, that's one of the reasons that you're going for it. But tax incentive, that's a decent reason to buy a hybrid.
Sure. And it's not an insignificant amount of money.
No, it's not. And you can go to fueleconomy.gov for details on the tax incentives and get, you know, all the information there.
Okay.
So you want to hear what number three is?
Yes.
Number three, improved technology. And this is kind of a big one because a lot of people, if you remember, there were a lot of myths going around about hybrid cars. Do you remember any of those just off the top of your head? Some of the reasons why maybe somebody wouldn't want to buy a hybrid car?
Oh, yeah. There were some myths about, first off, the reliability of the technology. Mm-hmm. That was a big one.
Very good.
There were also a couple of pretty deep-seated myths about the actual advantages, you know, and a lot of people seem to believe that a hybrid engine was really an internal combustion engine with this kind of fad electric motor added onto it.
Oh, sure. They didn't realize the synergy between the two, I guess.
Right.
That they work so well together, and that's what, you know, that's really the, I guess, the key to the whole thing is how well they work together and how they operate at the right time. Well, one of the other things that they mentioned was that they were dangerous or they were slow. So there's a couple of myths out there, and a lot of those myths have been, you know, kind of taken out of the water. They've been, you know, they've proved that they're not really accurate. And one of those is that the battery life. Because they said that the batteries are going to die and you're going to have to replace them, and they're going to be $10,000 to replace the batteries.
You know, and batteries still aren't perfect.
No, they're not, and they're not cheap. They're really not cheap if you have to replace them. However, there's good news in that because of the improved technology, the battery technology is getting better.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of manufacturers now warranty the batteries for the life of the car. So they oftentimes will outlast the manufacturer warranty on other mechanical parts. So they'll often warranty the battery for longer than that because they know that's a concern that consumers have is the battery life. And if, you know, something happens to the battery within the life of the car, whatever that mileage is and whatever that year count is, they'll replace it for free. In many cases, I shouldn't say every case. I mean, you have to check with your manufacturer.
Sure.
But that is, I mean, to me, that speaks volumes that they stand behind the product. I mean, if they're going to guarantee it for the life of the car. And usually, I mean, there's a limit to that. It's not, you know, if you keep the car 30 years, they're not going to guarantee it for 30 years. But maybe it is 10 years. Maybe it is 12 years. I don't know how long that warranty would be. But generally, when you talk about a fluid being a lifetime fluid, it's right around the 100,000 mile mark.
So what do you think about this deal with the batteries, about this warranty tendency? Do you think it's a good idea?
Oh, I think it's a great idea. I mean, because it just shows their confidence in the product. And, you know, if they show confidence in the product, you know, the consumer's going to believe, well, you know, I need to put a little more faith in this, a little more trust in it, because there was that initial belief that the batteries are going to die, you know, like they would in a device that you use around the house, maybe.
Right,
and,
right.
And, you know, then what do I do? I've got a $10,000 battery pack I have to buy, or right. whatever the price, $6,000, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's expensive. And they still are expensive, but they can often be reconditioned. They can be, of course, they can be recycled if the car is, if the vehicle's smashed or crashed up. I don't know. There's really no reason to fear the battery, I guess, in this
right.
case.
Of course, maybe in the past it's possible that there was, because during very early stages in hybrid technology, there, at least the prototypes, did have battery problems. And that was something that made a lot of press. And when these cars came out and they were more expensive, mm-hmm. you know, nobody wants to have a $50,000 yard sculpture that they originally intended to drive.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point. Another thing that's been dispelled, another rumor that's been dispelled, mm-hmm. is that they're slow. And while they're not as quick 0 to 60 as a lot of the gasoline counterparts that they have.
Right.
They still, you know, they're making decent headway in that. They're not mm-hmm. They're not 12 seconds 0 to 60 times anymore. Now they're 10 seconds 0 to 60 times. So they're making a little progress, because, and partially because the battery technology is getting better and they're getting lighter, more efficient, and that way, you know, they don't have quite as much weight to accelerate with, or to haul up to speed, I guess.
Yeah.
With a smaller motor, because remember, hybrids have smaller gasoline engines, because they're trying to make accommodation for that electric motor as well. Mm-hmm. They're all about efficiency and you know, making the most with as little as possible. And performance doesn't really come into that. So now it's kind of, it's balanced out a little bit better than it was in the past. Mm-hmm. So anyways, the batteries are getting smaller and lighter, mm-hmm. and the result is improved efficiency and better performance.
And before we continue, I just want to make another point here that, you know, this is a criticism that I understand, but also for people who don't want to buy a hybrid because it's a slower vehicle, you know, they're not exactly the intended demographic. The most important question here is, what do you want this vehicle to do for you? Mm-hmm. You know, and for people who want a very, very fast vehicle, you know, something that can top out in excess of 120 or something, then some of these concerns don't, you know, competitive pricing doesn't matter as much at that point. No. And being a hybrid should take second seat to speed.
Yeah, in fact, Lexus makes a lot of luxury hybrid vehicles, mm-hmm. that have outstanding performance, but they also have V8 engines. And you know,
that.
So the yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Honda's coming out with I hope they come out with this. It's a concept right now. They're talking about it. Mm-hmm. The CRZ. Which is a concept vehicle. It's kind of like the next generation CRX from a decade ago.
Oh, really?
And a very sporty looking car. It's a performance oriented vehicle, but it is a hybrid.
It's a hybrid.
And there are other vehicles like that on the way. So you may see more of a blend of performance, yeah. and hybrid technology in the future. But right now, they're all about efficiency and all about getting from A to B with as little fuel as possible. So performance doesn't really come into that.
You know what?
That aspect.
So far, though, I'm feeling this. You know, I'm not as fast of a driver as you, so I think I could make do with a hybrid, mm-hmm. pretty easily, especially if they're cheaper than I thought, and I stand a chance to get some tax money deducted.
True.
There.
Yeah, and if you're spending a lot of time in city traffic,
mm-hmm.
it's not a bad idea.
We do live in a traffic-riddled city.
Yeah, yeah. It's only on the weekends do we get to really, I guess, yeah. stretch our legs on the right. on the highway.
So take me up the list, man.
All right, number two.
All right.
Environmental benefits. And this is just pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Reduction in fossil fuels, you know, consumption, burning mm-hmm. fossil fuels. And, of course, that's a reduction in emissions as well. Mm-hmm. Look back in the article, and it says that the U.S. average miles per gallon in 1980 was 23.1 miles per gallon. For the average vehicle built in the United States. In 2004, so this is 24 years later, it only went up 1.6 miles per gallon increase. It was then 24.7 miles per gallon in 2004.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, so 24 years, we only increased, on average, 1.6 miles per gallon increase.
Mm-hmm.
For the average vehicle, and a typical hybrid mileage, right around the same time, was about 40 to 50 miles per gallon. Kind of depends on, you know, the driver and, you know, situations, you know, the terrain, et cetera. But average is right around 40 or 50. So that's about two times the national average. So they do have, you know, there's a lot of environmental benefits to this. They're going to be going to the gas pump fewer times.
Yep.
Burning less fuel.
And if they're hyper milers, then who knows when they're going to happen
better.
By the gas
pump. They'll quadruple that mileage.
They probably will. There's probably a guy or girl listening right now who is hypermiling.
Probably, yeah. And they're the ones that get, you know, 80 or 100 miles per gallon, mm-hmm. you know, via coasting and all the other tricks that we've been talking about in the last year or so.
One day I might figure that stuff out. Now, this is where we have to pause, and I have to ask you before we go to number one, mm-hmm. is this a surprise? Is this surprising?
It is. What?
I don't know what it is.
Oh! I thought you were going to ask me a question.
Oh, I was going to.
Oh no! I thought
it's number one surprise.
They're going to spring something on me.
Oh no!
A big surprise.
No.
Reveal. No. Okay. All right. Number one, financial benefits. So, speak to people's pocketbooks. I guess that's what they hit them in the pocketbook. So outside of public transportation, carpooling, biking, this word right here, what is it? WALKING. What is that?
I think that's an acronym for Westward Area.
Okay, this walking.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
I've heard it happens.
Yeah, somewhere. hybrid owners spend less money at the pump than they would if they drove a conventional car, so clearly there's financial benefits. Now, you and I know that it takes a long time to make up that difference, but there are financial benefits that you can experience if you hold on to a vehicle long enough. And, mm-hmm. you know, it is, in some cases, a matter of years, and it's all dependent on the price of fuel, et cetera.
Sure.
But there are financial benefits to owning a hybrid if you hold on to it long enough, and if you drive it the way that, you know, it's really intended, which is kind of city driving and, you know,
If you don't have to take a road trip to Peru every year, you'll probably get a better performance.
Probably, yeah. If you're just shuttling around the city, you're going to get fantastic mileage, and it'll be worth it. You'll definitely see a savings in money, savings in fuel, rather, I should say. Savings
which will translate
to
financial benefits.
Correct.
As you know what, and people who are interested in hearing more about that can definitely look through our archive and pick up an entire episode, I believe we have on that. Correct, Scott?
Yeah, I think we do. Yep. Yeah, we kind of determined how long it would take certain vehicles mm-hmm. to make it into the black after the initial purchase. And mm-hmm. some of them were pretty shocking. Others were reasonable.
Yeah, it took a little bit it took some of the rose-colored tint out of my optimistic glasses.
Green-colored tint? Yeah, sure, the green-colored tint.
See
what I did there?
I see what you did there.
Okay.
So, I don't know, man. All five of those sound like they are pretty solid points.
Yeah,
you can't argue with those. Those are facts.
Can't argue with them at all, huh?
Not yet.
Stay tuned, because we're going to have another episode with five reasons to not buy hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing that I found out about this is that when we're going to go through that one, you'll find that a lot of those points counteract the points that we just talked about. So I hinted at a couple of them there, mm-hmm. but you'll see there's a lot of good reasons to not buy hybrid as well. But I don't know, you can argue this either way. It depends on what side of the fence you're on.
And our listeners can probably tell that we're biting our tongues just a couple of times, because we don't want to, you know, this is usually the part of the show where I will ask you, you know, what's your opinion? But we have to hold off.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay, so everybody, thanks again for tuning in. As soon as you see the update, don't buy the hybrid car yet. Check back in, because we have the Devil's Advocacy episode coming up. And you can email us in the meantime at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.